Well, mm-hmm. rather, I think my mother did, because mm-hmm. I think she bought the tickets. Where was I going with this? But it was fantastic. Mm. But some of the early feedback for this video game is that there's a lot of standing in front of portraits as they talk at you.
Yes.
Like, there is, like, the narrative can be a little bit slow. But broadly speaking, I've only heard great things about this game so far. I'm probably going to pick it up myself. Mm-hmm. I know people who have already been playing it and have said great things.
This game, however, has kind of become a bit of a breaking point in the relationship between the broader community and activism, because some of the dialogue around it is, if you buy this game, play this game, or watch somebody else enjoy this game, then you want all trans people on Earth to die horribly. And it's just, I mean,
that is a ridiculous exaggeration.
But nope, there are people who are actually saying that it is the height of transphobia, and you are causing harm and death to people by engaging with this game. And it's the same as, like, with some of the Hollywood movies that came out. If you don't spend $20 on my movies, then you hate all black women and wish harm upon them. Or if you don't spend $20 and watch my movie, then you don't want women in the workplace. And it's just this gross exaggeration that keeps happening again and again.
I get it, but I think that there is something to be said about our collective impact. If collectively, as a group, we continue to consume J.K. Rowling's material, and, you know, is there any repercussion to that? If, as a group, collectively, we continue to mm-hmm. not purchase and engage with black filmmakers and further starve the industry, then are we, as a broader group, partly, you know, part of the problem?
Well, failing to promote black cinema is not the same as improving the lives of people who live in impoverished communities. It's really, if you're promoting black cinema, what you're doing is improving the lives of black millionaires in Hollywood. So there is this disconnect between the political message and the reality, the boots on the ground reality, and people, like, the online spaces, all the social media platforms that I've seen are starting to say, like, I think I have to give up on this. Like, if I want to promote trans people, promote trans people. I don't think playing Hogwarts is going to cause physical harm to anyone. Like, maybe you're promoting somebody who is, or promoting the products of a person who has become distanced from a thing. And I don't know, there's a lot of people who are, they feel politically exhausted. And Hogwarts Legacy especially, there has been just this attitude of, I don't think I can take this anymore. I'm just going to enjoy the game. I don't know, a lot of people kind of bring it back to the all-female remake of Ghostbusters when that came out, and they said, if you don't like this...
I quite like that remake. I enjoyed that one.
I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes.
Well, you missed the good minutes that were past the first five.
So. It was... But still, just this idea of, like, you're allowed to like or not like a movie. It doesn't have to represent mm-hmm. anything. It doesn't have to have a greater symbolism to broader society. And in the end, it's a movie. There have been movies that have changed things. So, like, famously, Philadelphia, starring Tom Hanks, did have a huge turning point in the HIV rights movement. Also the gay rights movement. But a lot of these movies, when you look at them, like, I don't know what Wakanda is going to do for crime and food deserts in inland Chicago. Like, it's...
Yeah. I actually didn't much appreciate that movie. I think it struggled narratively compared to the first one.
But, I mean, like, what is that going to do? You know, policy is going to change things. Mm-hmm. Boots on the ground, like grassroots activism, getting out there, doing community events, but that's going to change things.
I think sometimes the discourse and the dialogue is important. Like, for example, with the new Avatar film that came out, everyone's like, this is a Cowboys and Indians movie mm-hmm. where the blue people are the indigenous, mm-hmm. and it's just a rehash on that broad, big idea. And when you hear that collectively indigenous communities in many parts of the world mm-hmm. are like, I don't want to engage with this. I think there are some people who are like, do I want to spend $20 to see another blue people movie?
Yeah.
Knowing that it's getting such a rough road. And people turned away. And likewise, right now with Netflix, assuming with their password sharing crackdown that we're all just going to go, well, if I want to watch season 3 of Blacklist, I probably need to go get a $20 account. And the answer is no. Like, people individually have very little sway over multi-million dollar organizations like Netflix or whoever did Avatar. I want to say James Cameron. Or J.K. Rowling. Like, I have very little impact on any of these people. However, I can choose where I spend my money.
Yes, absolutely.
And I can choose whether or not I'm going to give it to Netflix, or if I'm going to give it to James Cameron, or if I'm going to give it to J.K. Rowling, or if I'm going to go and buy, you know, Stack TV and watch Adult Swim instead. You know, like, I can... That's the choice that people have. And I think that these debates really present more than one side to to these arguments. But if you went ahead and bought this game, does that make you a transphobe? I don't necessarily think so.
The most you could say is that you're indifferent.
Yeah.
And indifference is better than causing harm.
It's but is it complicit? Are we complicit in J.K. Rowling by buying into this game?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I am also, by the way, in case you couldn't tell, a little politically exhausted around some of this stuff. So, same thing with what was the Billy Eichner movie that came out?
Gay Bros.
Yeah, Gay Bros. That just bombed. And
It seemed too crass and it has the kind of comedy that Billy Eichner is all about, and I'm just not remotely about that.
I can take Billy Eichner in little... He used to do three-minute segments, and that is the correct amount of Billy Eichner.
Yes.
That's a fantastic amount of Billy Eichner. And then beyond that, you're like, oh, choose a channel. So it was like that bombed not because of homophobia, but because the script looked weak, the comedy looked crass, and people just weren't interested.
Yeah.
Whereas Brokeback Mountain was award-winning, had famous actors in it, everybody went to see it, it was genre-changing. Maybe they could have gotten an actual gay man in the role, but in the end, like, it did well because it was done well. Mm-hmm. And if it bombed or if it succeeded, I mean, another one that bombed was I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, if you remember that one. It bombed because it looked crass and terrible. So it wasn't because of homophobia. It just looked like bad writing. So
I suspect that this Hogwarts game is going to continue to do well.
Yes.
There are already people talking about, for example, the subtitle, or not the subtitles, the text in the Russian translation of the game has a lesbian couple refer to her wife as a friend.
Okay.
So people are zeroing in on it with such scrutiny. You know, that could have been a mistranslation. It could be a typo. I think we need to... Games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there is an important spot for a discussion around, are you endorsing the views of the creator by buying a product? I think this product is far enough removed from J.K. Rowling.
It was made by entirely different people.
Yeah, and they have seen and heard these responses that I feel like this is not complicit or endorsing.
It's also not going away. They specifically designed it for, I think they refer to it as a 10-year cycle. So if you remember Skyrim, and they just kept coming out with more and more DLCs and add-ons and whatnot. People are still playing Skyrim because there's so much to do in that game. They deliberately designed the Hogwarts game so that over the next 10 years they would continuously add on to it and that it would have high replay value. So it's not going away. Mm-hmm. If it does well at all, it's not going away.
Well, the same could be said for J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to jump to our next track, which is by Lights. And this is Sparky, and we will be back just after this.
Thank you.
welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And, okay, so we were talking about people attempting to do better and you know, in terms of being more socially conscious. And one thing that has backfired a little bit is Sam Smith presented a unique challenge, not necessarily a unique challenge, but presented a challenge to the Brit Awards, which is the British version of the Grammys.
Right.
In that Sam Smith identifies as non-binary.
Right.
So the Best Male Artist or the Best Female Artist Award suddenly was no longer applicable because Sam Smith did not identify as either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they merged the two together.
Yeah.
And now it is the Best Artist of the Year award.
Right.
Last year it went to Adele.
Mm-hmm.
First time that the award went out. But this year it went to Harry Styles. I mean, that's fine. Harry Styles is on a bit of a rocket course in popularity right now. But the critique was that there was not a single female nominee in the Best Artist award for the Brit Awards.
Yes. The introduction, actually, I think a lot of that was driven by Dolly Parton because Nashville had no acknowledgement whatsoever for female country western singers. Then along comes Dolly Parton, who revolutionized everything, incredibly popular on TV, no ability to win awards because they just never did anything. So they actually created a separate category for female artists so that they would never be neglected again.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily that it started with the Country Western Awards, but I do believe that she kind of launched that idea of it's very important to specifically acknowledge female artists because if you don't, they probably may not be acknowledged. And you don't want to miss out on people like Dolly Parton, you know? So I think I see where you're going now, that when they merge the two, they drop the female category and they may risk having, like, way fewer...
Well, in this case, none.
None, yeah. Yeah,
and I think this is going to be a very much an eye-opener for the Brit Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there is something to be said about a combined category that is the best of the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that assumes it's a level playing field. You know what I mean? And I maybe I'm not as convinced that it is.
Well, it goes through periods. I mean, again, if you look at the history of country music, which I'm sure not all of our audience is familiar with, it goes through periods where, if you look at the charts, it's about 50-50 male and female. So in the 90s, you had Shania Twain, you had Reba McEntire, you had a whole bunch of big...
Cher.
In the country western?
Oh, I see. I thought you were just referring to the 90s in general.
No. In the 90s in country western, you had a lot... Katie Lang. A lot of people forget that she started off as a honky-tonk party country music singer.
Before she had all of her cravings.
Yeah, yeah. And then it, in the sort of 2000s, it went back to, like, bro western. So it goes through cycles. In the 70s, there was a lot of female artists as well. And it kind of goes through cycles where it's about 50-50 or, like, just it's dude music. And it that cycle over time, it does always come back. But you do go through periods where women are just not acknowledged in country western.
I think if this is something that happens with a frequency that is identifiable, then they should have known better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that that is a fair and robust critique.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move us along a little bit. Anyone who has signed up with the LGBTQ travel company Atlantis Events,
okay,
going on a Royal Caribbean cruise, had a bit of a surprising email earlier this week. Royal Caribbean and Atlantis Events are rightly concerned, and this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, ha-ha, snicker-snicker, but they are rightly concerned, and I'm going to start with the actual issue, that the cruise ship, the vendors, the staff, other patrons in these facilities are being recorded, and then either identifiable information, such as their names or what have you, or their faces, are being released on social media channels and or websites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have essentially asked that nobody film gentleman's cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I use gentleman's cinema here with mm-hmm. with a lot of quotation marks.
Adult content.
Adult content.
Yes.
You know, on their cruises, because apparently these gay cruises have had a few. Well, I'm sure they've had many viral moments, but they've had a few viral moments in terms of video content that has spread. Amongst various sites, mm-hmm. let's say. And they've said, look, if you're posting it to a website that's behind a paywall, which is only for enthusiasts,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, it's still the same issue here, is that there are vendors, the ship itself, mm-hmm. other passengers who are being caught in the background in some cases,
mm-hmm.
And it's not appropriate. I don't know. If I was on a gay cruise, first of all, that would be, I think, fun for a very short amount of time. But if I was on a gay cruise and then suddenly discovered, whilst perusing Gentleman's Cinema, that I was in the background shot
mm-hmm.
Of some activity, I feel like I would be annoyed that that you know it happened without my consent and that I wasn't invited. But you know, how would you react to a situation like that?
Get your royalties.
I did get my royalties.
Yeah. I mean, it's the classic, if you're out in public, you're in public and people can take your picture.
But is a cruise ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean a public space?
That is...
Or is the entire ship private?
Yeah, that is a thing. I mean, the other thing you could say is if that is the case, then they don't want that being done in there. Or actually, if it is a private space, then they could just say you can't film there.
Well, I think they want to be respectful of what you do in your own quarters, you know, if you're playing backgammon with your closest friends, then that's up to you.
On a boat?
Well, you know, things happen.
I wouldn't play a game with dice that... Oh, backgammon between quotation marks.
Yes.
Okay,
I see. Thank you, you've caught up.
I see.
So, yeah, if you're playing a game of backgammon, mm-hmm. I don't know why I picked the most old man game I could think of there, but there we go.
That would be Moncala.
Yes, yeah. If you're playing a game of charades
mm-hmm.
in your suite
mm-hmm.
With some of your many closest friends,
mm-hmm.
that I think they're turning a bit of a blind eye to. As long as it's not... You know, as long as it doesn't have Royal Caribbean in giant text behind the background.
Yeah.
You know, like an ad placement. I think they're broadly speaking, you know, thinking, you know, whatever you do there is fine. But the statement said, while we want everyone to have fun, there are limits. And so we ask that you be respectful of all our guests mm-hmm. and our cruise partners. And it goes on to say, please do not post anything explicitly sexual on social media in a public forum or other online space. And it also goes on to say, any guest who posts or publishes an explicit and publicly visible photo or video will be asked to leave the ship with no refund. So at the very least, you should wait until you get back to dock, as it were.
Yeah, they're going to drop you off at the first port.
I mean, really, these seamen are not messing around. No. That's really the moral of the story here.
Yep.
Well, we will keep an eye on how that develops. But if you have a cruise booked, make sure that you have everyone's consent to be photographed or filmed.
I'm not that interested in disappointing buffet and dolphins. I like dolphins, but I don't know about disappointing buffet.
But does dolphins do it enough to overcome a disappointing buffet?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I'll ever go on a cruise. I don't think that's for me. I just don't think that's for me.
Yeah.
Especially not a gay cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then the buffet is probably really going to be disappointing.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's not disappointing ever? Eurovision. They've announced the semi-finalists.
Disappointment is the only guarantee. Whoever you want to win is going to come in second. Guaranteed.
Yeah, or third. Yeah, exactly. so we will be... They've announced the semi-finalists. Serbia, Sweden, Latvia, Ireland, Moldova, Switzerland, Norway, Israel, Portugal, Netherlands, Croatia, Finland, Azerbaijan, Malta, and the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see Azerbaijan back in the mix. They have really out there ones.
They always do well, but never... get good scores. Like, they always have tracks that are like, what are they doing in Azerbaijan that their music is so good, but they never win.
Ireland is also looking pretty strong. Yeah. And then they also, in the other semifinal, have Albania, Australia, Armenia, Cyprus, Romania, Austria, Denmark, Lithuania, San Marino.
Okay.
Belgium, Slovenia, Iceland, Georgia. Don't see much of Georgia. Greece, Poland, and Estonia.
Did Moldova make the list? I missed that.
No, Moldova did. Yeah, first semifinal. Yeah, Moldova's in there. Okay. They have great stuff.
They're very memeable. That's where Epic Sax guy is from Moldova. Yeah.
I feel like San Marino is just like, there's like 20 people on the island and they take turns to compete in Eurovision.
You're thinking of Iceland.
I'm thinking of San Marino. Isn't it a tiny island in the Mediterranean?
I think, isn't San Marino kind of like Monaco, where it's tightly packed, high population?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of Iceland.
Yeah.
Iceland,
they just draw lots, and they randomly assign the role of Eurovision to some citizen, and there's
a 50-50... Yeah, it's like bingo, where if you win, you're going to be in Eurovision.
And there's a 50-50 chance that they're going to be a musician anyway, because it's a country of musicians.
It's true, yeah. Either that, or they throw like a ball in the air, and whoever it lands on becomes the next Eurovision contestant.
Like a wedding bouquet?
Yeah, exactly. obviously, joining them is the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain, as well as Ukraine, who won it last year. Mm-hmm. It is being held in Liverpool, United Kingdom, as, of course, the Ukraine is currently being invaded by Russia.
Right.
So very difficult to host a global music competition whilst you're actively being invaded. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Other quick roundup of good news that we saw. The Netherlands has been voting on amending its constitution to ban discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation and disability.
They haven't done that yet?
It's probably one of those oversights. Mm. Slovenia became the first Eastern European country to recognize same-sex marriage. Finland has introduced gender recognition laws based on self-declaration. I mentioned before that Ireland, New Zealand, and many others, this is the same kind of law that Scotland tried to introduce. Mm-hmm. Hong Kong passed a landmark ruling on gender affirmation surgery as not being a requirement for legal gender recognition. So you don't need surgery in Hong Kong anymore to be recognized. Sri Lanka has decided to work on decriminalizing homosexuality. The state of New York City Health Commissioner has declared an end to Mpox or monkeypox. And when we looked, there have been maybe 2 or 3 cases a month in the whole country since October in Canada. So it very much looks like the Mpox, monkeypox virus outbreak in Canada has been thoroughly defeated. Bearing in mind that last June it was up to 28 a day almost. Ooh. Like it was, you know, pretty substantial. But there have been almost nothing since. That's been a whole swath of good news.
Yes.
And we will continue to monitor it as we move forward. We're going to be playing out with The Old Me by Rhea May. I've been Dick Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. Thank you for listening.
I can feel your eyes on me. I could win awards for pretending. Ask me how I've been and I'll hold my tongue. Back in time, pieces of me thought I left behind. History, I'm trying. scene got me frozen, trying to leave, and I can't breathe. You remind me of the old me, got me feeling things I don't like, feeling sorry. Tell me reasons why you didn't love me, and bring me out then I'm lonely. I don't want that messed up old me to own me, but you just keep bringing me back. Seem happy, I can't do this, I'm not ready. You remind me of the old me, got me feeling things I don't like, feeling sorry. Tell me reasons why you didn't love me, and bring me out then I'm lonely. I don't want them messed up old me to own me, but you just keep bringing me back, yeah.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia. We are diverse, independent, and yours. You are listening to CJSF 90.1, broadcasting live from up on Burnaby Mountain. At CJSF, we air public service announcements for not-for-profit community groups, organizations, and events. And we encourage you to submit a PSA and to please send it by email to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca. Be sure to include the details, like the name and contact information for the organization, date, time, location, and a short description of the event or service. Send your PSA information to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca.